Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans.
$829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Plus $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
93.7 The Ticket. One-on-one, you can be a part of the conversation. We're talking quarterback play. Lots to talk about. Sauter Heyman text line, 402-464-5685. You want to be a part of it? Hit us up. Get a what's up. You can follow live on all the streams, Facebook, YouTube, X, and Allo Channel 961. If you want to be a part of what we're doing, Harrison Arns, manning the board. As we do what we do, we thank the folks from Teammates for Mentoring. Des Moines Adams, Astra to Honor for what they're doing. And if you haven't joined the team and haven't become a member and a mentor, it's a good time. It really requires 30 minutes of you sitting across the table from a young person and connecting them. You need 20 visits. They say 20 visits. Build the connection and keep the connection and make it valid. 20 half hours at a school in this area. For you to mentor, just so you don't have to make plans, you don't have to spend money, you don't have it's not that kind of deal. These are brilliant, bright young people, and they just need for you to give them 30 minutes of your time each week. Pick the day, pick the school, pick the age group that you want to deal with, pick the gender if you want, right? To go through, but there's somebody younger you is waiting for this version of you now. What would you bring to the light to your life when you were 12 years old, 14 years old, 15 years old, 17 years old? What would it be like to have a purposeful, missioned adult who is just there, and you don't have to lead them, you don't have to direct them, you don't have to parent them, you just have to be there and be present, have conversations with them. So you can find that information on the Teammates Mentoring website, and I would love to hear that you're considering it and that you've crossed the line and committed to being there for somebody, a young person. That's how communities are built. And we're asking you to be a teammate, join the team. It's time. Let's set the tone. High standards. There's one voice.
The autumn wind is a pirate, blustering in from sea. With a rollicking song, he sweeps along, swaggering boisterously. His face is weather-beaten. He wears a hooded sash with a silver hat about his head and a bristling black mustache. He growls as he storms the country, a villain big and bold. And the trees all shake and quiver and quake as he robs them of their gold. The autumn wind is a raider, pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
Oh, that's spectacular. That is spectacular. Standards being set and met. Ah, so good. Let's bring in the QB coach.
Let's go, baby. Handing out lollipop today.
BT, the BT Express, Barry Thompson in the building. Coach, what's happening with you?
Hey, man, everything's good on the wood. It's this time of year. We're getting down to the end of the season. We got hockey going on. We got baseball going on, and we're cooking. So everything's good, baby.
Barry Thompson, how you doing?
I'm good and getting better.
How about you? How about you, Barry Thompson? How about
you? Sir. And then I told you the other one when everybody asked about your family. Mm-hmm. Right. He said, how's your family doing? You said, everybody's doing what they should be doing.
Hey,
there you go.
We're winning. We're winning across the board. Let's talk about this thing that happened in your neighborhood, Barry Thompson. It's a thing that it said when things are good in the hood.
Yes.
In Northern Virginia, there was an event. There's a thing that happened. And when football circles all gather around a play made by a quarterback, a coaching decision made by an offensive coordinator and a head coach, defensive failures by defensive coordinators, players being distracted in the greatest moment of their day and getting a lesson. So let's start at the very beginning by setting it up. The Washington Commanders had they were in a game with two rookie quarterbacks.
And we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. Remember I said this game to see.
Yep. Set it up that Caleb Williams and Jalen Daniels were going to compete. Two rookie quarterbacks, different journeys to their place.
Yep.
Both Heisman Trophy winners, both having the opportunities to turn around entire football factories. Right. Chicago Bears, this is a franchise of note. Mm-hmm. They have priority and importance in the NFL. The league would not exist as it currently does without them. You cannot tell the story of the National Football League without talking about the Chicago Bears. Matter of fact, some people would say, you better start there because the league sure did.
That's right.
And then with the Washington Football organization, whatever way you describe them and talk about them, the league is better when they're better. And both are under young leadership, new coaches, different coordinators.
Mm-hmm.
And they put themselves in a situation where in the final minute, the final 60 seconds of football in the National Football League on a Sunday afternoon, Sunday evening, Caleb Williams and Jalen Daniels made plays.
Yes.
Barry Thompson, they made plays. So let's talk through that in the first drive of note, in that minute, they take them 60. Caleb Williams takes the Bears 60 yards, 60 plus yards. And he makes two throws in this that were athletic. They were cerebrally authentic and pretty impressive for him to know and be connected to it. So young quarterback play, what do you say to Caleb Williams and his final drive?
Well, let's start there. First of all, I didn't get to see it. So I was on the field to tell you how it reverberates. And there is a part that kind of sets up what you're talking about. It reverberated so much. I started getting calls pinging. Hey, did you see it? Did you see it? And I actually had a football meeting. So I saw the play itself with the sound off. And I knew there was a lot of jubilation, but I couldn't tell whether it's just one of those fantastic plays or whether it was the play. And then I started getting it. So the reverberation around me was great. And I want to speak to what I did see. I had to get my hands on the all 22, and it was really interesting. This speaks to this drive that you said that Caleb had, and I'm going to get to it, is they started off so roughly, and their offense, when you look at the all 22, it is a awkward combination of play calls, play design, asking him to do maybe too much at times. If you remember back in the game, they had this 4-by-1 formation that they would line up in, and he would do all this stuff, and then they would get into another formation and run the play. Well, in West Coast, they used to have a thing called scatter. That was a formation that they would line up called scatter. And if you heard the John Gruden's call, one of them is scatter to west, right, tight. And one of the things that about that scatter formation, they never ran a play out of it. And you're watching them and you're thinking, you know, okay, you're lined up in this thing. You're actually going to call a play out of this formation. So I'm saying this to say there were times when you look at the all 22 where that offense from the offensive line perspective, from the receivers getting in sync and understanding space perspective, it really looked herky jerky. And for him to come up with a drive and for the play calling to kind of sink in the moment when it was supposed to sink and come up with a play. Again, I think this points to that maybe there's something there with Caleb. Just like when we talked a few weeks ago, we were talking about who we wanted to end the game. And I said, hey, it could be the start of something, but I need to see more. I think you're beginning to see that the things that were so disruptive about their offense are fixable things, easily fixable from the standpoint you can reduce it. And let's make things simple. When you watch Jalen go through the game, he had a lot of easy completions, right? He's backed up, boom, ball here, boom, ball here. So there may be some simplification that takes place with the Bears. The defense is good. And Caleb is talented. He is talented, although at points in that game, he didn't look that talented or looked a little less than, I guess is fair to say. But, yeah, that's some big-time stuff. Guys tend to – good players tend to announce themselves. You just have to pay attention when they're speaking. And I think for him to come up with a drive like that when it counted after having that type of game, to me that really speaks to the professionalism, the grit that he understands that it's going to be an up-and-down game, that things aren't always going to go right. But when it's time to play, he and the coordinator, however they got it together, they got it together. So I'm impressed. It's taken a while to go through the All-22, but I've been impressed so far.
Through all of it, some of the conversation, and Barry, we have to be present in that we have to be delicate and authentic at the same time and talking about the Chicago Bears with Harrison Arns in the room.
Yes.
I had a moment with him when I got back Monday, kind of the boomerang with Eddie Murphy and David Allen Greer, where they just kind of stand in the hallway. And he doesn't know what to say, so he just puts his hands to the sky and he just offers him a hug, and they don't talk, and then they hug and back that, and then they go in their opposite directions because they're really had a conversation without stepping on toes and not stepping on feelings. So Harrison Arns, I'll ask you this to jump in here now, and please add to it from the Bears fan perspective. How was your Sunday?
I'll say this. The offense was struggling, but the defense has been great all year long. That's been the bread and butter of this Bears team, is that, you know, the defense is keeping us in games. So to Barry Thompson's point, we just need to have it sink in on the offensive side. Whatever you think of the OC Shane Waldron, there's been a few moments, and Caleb Williams has shown up in the fourth quarter. You kind of knew that where, you know, speaking of the fourth quarter, you get to the end of that goal line, you're able to punch it in. Weird play call, giving it to Kramer on a little bit of trickery there. I'm not a fan of that. You just hand it to the back. You fumble that one. But again, you're going back to this Bears defense. All right. Well, they're pinned in the back of the end zone. We can play field position. They're still alive. The Bears do what they do on defense. They get another stop. And that's when you see that offense, again, march down the field, punch it in. You know, and I a little too quick with it. Started texting some other Commander friends that I know. And then, of course, there's the Hail Mary. It's one thing to lose on a Hail Mary, and then, you know, you get the All-22 version of the Hail Mary, and you see Stevenson flexing on the fan base a little bit, part one, and then to also be the guy to run in there, realizing the receivers are downfield already, and tip it up in the air. You know, I had a bunch of reverberation as well, and they were calling me asking if I was okay. So it was a tough one for me. It took me a couple days to get over it. Every time I think I'm over it, we dive back into it. I mean, it's gonna be the highlight of the NFL for multiple weeks. It's one of those plays that, like the double doinker I was telling DP before we started, that's going to ring true for a long time until the Bears can start winning and we can all forget about the bad times.
Yeah, he's going to – whenever they have that position meeting, and you know the first clip that's going to go up in that DB room, and it's going to be there. But I'm going to tell you, when you watch the All-22, you just see at various different points offensively just things that aren't right. So, for instance, at one point, there's a particular play where Caleb goes up and changes things, and both guards turn around. In the NFL, it's kind of common for the right guard, right, with all the noise, to turn back, and then he taps the center – to let them know there's a count. And then, but when both guards turn around, that's confusion, right? And then you see on that particular play, you watch the running back, he kind of has to get something as a play force. You see that they do construct some easy plays, right? Where he just gets back, first read, something's open, and he can go. So that stuff is there. The other thing I think is when you watch the receivers, there are certain receivers that they have that deserve the ball a lot more, and there are certain receivers that they have that deserve the ball a lot less. So it's not like they don't have the personnel there. I think there needs to be a little bit of rearranging of who's doing what when. And then probably the most glaring thing I saw early was, DP, we've talked to several times about QBs and quarterback, our receivers and quarterbacks, and I've said you could put quarterbacks and receivers onto a field and set the depth of a route and footwork, and it can come out perfectly. That's fine, but it's the gray areas, right, where Kelce plays and so forth. And I saw a couple times where Caleb kind of rolled out. There was a receiver that was open, but then he moved and he covered himself up, and it was like a near interception. All he had to do was stay in his spot. There was another one where he had a stick concept to his left. He had a receiver coming from the right, and it's normal to kind of get over the ball, find the space, and stop. So the stick concept isn't good. He turns to the middle, and he fires the ball expecting the guy to stop, but the guy's running through an open area. So those are fixable things with them, and it'll be interesting to see how they work out the premise. Do they reorganize who's doing what from a receiver standpoint? Do they decide to make things simple and have Caleb do all that stuff later on, or do they want him to get better at it? That's another question. And then, you know, just from an O-line perspective, there was another block where, you know, combo one-on-one. If Harrison, you or I, if I'm a guard and you're a tackle, and we're going to double team a three technique to the linebacker, combo one-on-one says we stay together, our eyes are up. If the back, I'm on your left side. If the backer comes to my left, you take over the block and I go get the linebacker, and just reverse. If the backer goes to my right, your right, you go get the linebacker and I take over the block. Well, there were a couple times where the backer went to the left, and Harrison, in this example, you left your guy too. And there's a three technique, he's just free. So just like little simple things like that will make their offense smoother, correctable error. And it'll be interesting to see how they work out the premise the rest of the season. They're certainly in position to make the playoffs. 8 games in, right? You can kind of begin to see who's in position to do stuff and who isn't. And they're one of the teams that are kind of in position. So it'll be interesting to see how they work it out.
To go through the Hail Mary, and the receiver coach and me identified that diamond that they were setting up.
Mm-hmm.
Which requires so much separation, mm-hmm. and time.
Yep.
But I wanted to ask you on the thing that Jalen Daniels did in moving the pocket and then breaking the pocket down so that a wall could be set up. There's some familiarity that's required in communication between a quarterback, his receivers, and then the line,
yep,
to stay active and block for him.
Right.
For you as the quarterback's coach, what drills, how much time can be put into that sort of play, that a desperation play that could be end of half, it could be end of regulation? How much time, how many drills, how many times can a quarterback drill that,
mm-hmm,
so that when that moment comes up, it is not new,
right?
It is not let's just wing it. It right. is high repetition, high volume, you know what to expect, you know where the ball's going, and you kind of have a plan for how you're going to attack.
It's almost as if everything in that play was coached, huh?
Mm-hmm. on one side, anyway.
Yeah, well, let me say that in organizations that I've been part of, those things are done, if we're playing on Friday, those things are done every Thursday. And there's a specific set of plays and a specific way that you go through the Thursday leading up to the Friday game at the high school level. And, yes, you run your two-minute offense. Yes, you run plays on the air and you do that type of thing. But the other thing that you do on those Thursdays is that you go over the we need it situation. And typically you set that scenario up from the furthest back around the 20. And you want a play that you're going to call that gets you up to around midfield. You want to maybe cross midfield. And then you have another play that you're going to call, and the ball is going to be thrown into the end zone. So as far as the pocket goes, that's another level, right? There's an expectation, hey, if we get a three-man rush, this is what we're going to do. This is how you're going to run around. This is where he's going, because the linemen have to understand what he's doing at that time too, right? Mm-hmm. And that just goes to the level of detail that's coached into a play like that. You know, where do we want the ball? How we're going to set up the diamond? Who's going to come in? Covering the different scenarios. So it's just a matter of coaching it and then repping it. And lo and behold, it comes up and it works out.
It really is fun to watch.
Yeah.
And having athletes now playing the quarterback position and what it allows coaches to do and what it allows teammates to do. But Barry, we'll throw the break. We'll come back. I want to talk to you about another young quarterback, because in an opportunity, sometimes the young guys step up. And the thing that I noticed was the thing that I've been scrambling about, and that Dylan Raiola and the Huskers have to identify him as a runner. They have to understand how he uses his feet and what it does to an offense to have a quarterback that, whether it's in zone read, RPO, scramble drill, whatever it is, making big time throws are from the ground up. And I need for you to break that down for us. We'll do that with Barry Thompson, 1-on-1, 93.7.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to 1-on-1. Harrison, as a matter of fact, we have to do some things with the talent. And we've got some folks moving. And I like the fact that we're putting out the content.
Mm-hmm.
So shouting at you out in this space so that you know how much it's appreciated. Barry Thompson joins us here on 1-on-1. And the QB coach, BT, kind sir, listen. Quarterback play, depending on the talent of the quarterback and the mental capacity of the offensive coordinator, QB coach, receivers coach, line coach, like they all have to play together and get on the same page. But if you're in running today's offense at any level, RPO is a part of the offensive game plan now. It just is. And whether you're running inside zone schemes, RPO schemes, or you've got an athlete back there who's just a playmaker, and in off cases, the lower the level, the better your best athlete most likely is your quarterback and the guy that's most highly trained to playmake in that space. Nebraska figured out Saturday in Columbus, Ohio, that Dylan Raiola was pulling the ball back because he was the one player of the 11 offensive players that they had not schemed for. Because history and tendency, it said that Dylan wouldn't pull it down and run it. But I always say, listen, the earlier a quarterback can make that 11th defender accountable, often making the 10th defender accountable and taking them out of that pass coverage, the better the offense runs. Offense being space being offense, that if we can create, take fewer defenders and get them out of coverage, it makes it easier for the quarterback. Barry Thompson, talk to me about
Well, you're talking about kind of modern play design. So let's take I'm in gun and I have a have running back to my left and I'm a right-handed quarterback. So it's not just whether I can give on the run or not, or I'm looking at a backer and I can throw the RPO. The third option is I can pull the ball and go run. So when you start designing more plays and more screens are involved, and going back to the game we were talking about, has anybody ever had a cat in the house? Listen, I'm just going to say something right here. We'll get back to football in a second. I was brought up on a farm, and I love my family, but I'm really not used to having animals inside the house. And by the way, I know people love their dogs, but I've never walked a dog in my life. That dog, if he needed some exercise, and I got this cat that just wants to. Anyway, back to the football game.
She loves Barry Thompson.
It's something. Let me get clear. I don't hate animals. I know they're dependent. Like I said, I was brought up on a farm, but I'm just not used to having. Animals in the house, and this cat has been here for like 15 years, and he's doing fine. And but anyway, he decided that he wanted to jump up on something and pull a couple cords. Anyway, back to the game that we were talking about. So within the play design on the Redskins, I'll give you a scenario. Daniels was in the gun. He had a running back to his left, but he had a condensed formation with a tight slot to his left, and actually the tight end was in the slot, which you don't see very much. Now, normally in the NFL, when the tight end is kind of near the tackle or in that position, he's going to come across and you've got some type of thing going on. Well, what they did on that play is that they actually ran a bubble with the tight end to the left. So as the play's going to the right, you've got two unblocked defenders plus a safety now, because they were a kind of a man, has to come flying down. So the tight end ran the bubble. The number one receiver out of him ran kind of a glance. And then there was a defender in the hole that he could have made an option off of. Those are the types of plays that I think when you have a quarterback who can run or you want to make the defense defend, that you get to more of that kind of play design, rather the old play design, which is we're going to kind of guess what they're going to be in, and we'll try to have a hot route. This one is more organic, right? And that you are making your quarterback the decision maker, and you can get more of those 36-yard runs out of Dylan that you got because they're not accounting for him. Or, by the way, he's a little more athletic than people give him credit for. So, yeah, it's an important part of the game. And you saw Jaden, underrated about him, is he's a problem in open field. I mean, he broke some ankles, and you're looking for a quarterback in any situation to get you out of a bad play or get you out of a bad situation and put you into one. And if that quarterback can run on top of his decision-making, then that gives him another kind of hole card to play with, another thing. And I'm losing the word. But when you're playing defense and you're covering all your angles and all of a sudden this guy goes in and pops you for a first down anyway, that's bad. And Jaden did that a couple times, right? He flipped they're second and long. They're expecting the blitz. He gets out of it and flips the sticks, right? So it is a problem. And I think you're going to see more offenses kind of build things in. The NFL is kind of a copycat league. So, what Kingsbury is doing, you're going to start seeing some other guys start to do. There's enough of it going around. I think it'll come to Lincoln pretty soon.
It's interesting that they use RPOs in the space, not understanding that a big part of the RPO game has to be holding defenders so that the route runners can get into space and settle down. It makes my head hurt sometimes.
Well, it's more deep. Yeah, the RPOs are one thing, right? But it's splitting the defense. So in that scenario that I gave you, there was a potential RPO because the safety came down, but they were also splitting the defense, right? They have play action going or a run going one way with all the linemen going that way. So you have those set of backers kind of heading to the right.
Yep.
But then you've got this bubble action. So the defensive backs that are under, they've got to get wide to go get that. And then you got a safety coming down, and you got to glance in front of it. It's more splitting the defense. It's a horizontal attack more than a vertical attack. You know, because vertically, when they get into two high safeties, they're kind of saying, hey, we're going to limit what you're doing, right? That's what match quarters and all that stuff is going. And so the answer offensively is I'm going to split you horizontally, right? I'm going to stretch you horizontally, and I'm going to get after you. And you're right. It creates a lot of conflict.
Through all of it, some of the drills that are in play are to get quarterbacks on the move.
Mm-hmm.
How much of that really is arm talent versus foot talent, lower half talent? What's there?
Well, I've heard this term arm talent. I assume that you don't have a quarterback playing at whatever level unless he can make the throws that you want him to make. So I don't, you know, that term got thrown around a lot and I didn't really understand it. But there are times when there are guys who can do certain things with the ball that other guys can't do. Going back to Jaden, there was one where he kind of got flushed to his – he was in the pocket. He got flushed to his right, and as he's kind of retreating, almost like a screen type of pose, he just slings the ball across the field two yards short of a first down. I mean, there aren't many people who can do that. But the idea of making plays on the run, you know, understanding the pocket and how to move, that's something that we work with quarterbacks on all the time. That's a matter of getting them to understand the difference between when you're going to get hit, when you feel pressure, where you feel it from, how to move, right, which is drilled and taught. And then the idea that when this play breaks down, where your eye's going to shoot to in a general fashion to go make a play. Bringing up the guy Mahomes, the other thing that will help quarterbacks do that is if they have a defined pocket, right? So if I know how the pocket's being defined, then I can very easily tell from where the pressure's coming from how I need to react to it. And I think the Chiefs do a really good job of that. That's why you see Mahomes get out so much so often, right? Because they have a very specific way that they want to set their pocket up. And so when Patrick, when he's in there, when he feels the pressure, he knows it's only one of two things and he reacts one of two ways versus some of the pockets that you saw Dylan in, right? That thing was sometimes crumpling on him. And even though he tried to move in short spaces, it's kind of chaotic. And he did well to hold on to the ball, to be honest with you. You know, and there was a couple protection issues or, you know, that's part of their offense. They're going to figure that out. You know, a couple of the sacks that he took, there was one where he didn't have any answers at all, and you got to take the L. There were others where one where he did have the answer, but he didn't get to it. And then there was another one where there was a protection issue, and he didn't identify it. There was nothing kind of built in. And so with a quarterback like that, you want to build more of these answers into what you're doing so that if he identifies it, he can get you out of trouble.
If that's the case, having watched Dylan Raiola do what he does, and again, you doing it against Ohio State, where mm-hmm. there's such a talent pool for you yeah. to throw against, work against, et cetera, but his ability to make throws on the run,
right,
on the run,
right,
so much of that is knowing what to expect when you get out of chaos.
Right. It's in the middle. So what I would say to quarterbacks here is we always use example, or I always use example. Okay, you're about to throw something in rhythm, like whatever, it's your third step. If you're under fifth step, you're about to throw it, and something moves you off your spot. Well, we know the adage is we don't want to be late down the middle of the field. So immediately our eyes start to think, okay, I've got something to the outer third. I've got something across the field. That's where I want to shoot my eyes to. In most of the cases, and the reason I describe this young quarterbacks is to say the longer you hold the ball, the deeper the defense is going to get, right? So where is the space? And you get them to start to think about that. And then that's when your scramble drills and all that stuff come in. But that's kind of the basics of it, that if I'm about to throw in rhythm, I get knocked off my dime, my eyes are automatically coming down into this underneath area to find out what I can get. Really good stuff. And talking about running QBs in that game, the thing that really killed him at the end was the Ohio State excuse me, the Ohio State quarterback running the ball, right? Yeah. He had a couple of choice runs there. So it really doesn't have anything to do with athleticism. It just has to do with play design, good decision-making, and getting 5, 6, 7, 8 yards at a time. And if a quarterback can do more than that, that's great.
It through all of it, right, that the new toy in quarterback play is the virtual reality of giving that, you know, the brain some repetition,
right,
in seeing, okay, this is how a defense lines up. What do you see? Being able to identify coverage, to being able to identify points on the field of attack, all of those things. Where do you stand on the virtual aspect of what's happening in quarterback play?
Well, it's been around for a while, right? It's been around for 5 or 6 years. I think Tech was kind of an early adopter, but that version seemed to die down. There seems to be another version that's coming online, which people seem a little more satisfied with. There's nothing that's going to replace game reps. Anything that can help a quarterback. You got to remember, at the quarterback position, it's a multidimensional thing. I do have to know what I'm doing, and I do have to know what my guys are doing. That's one dimension. The other dimension is I have to know how my opponent is lined up and what they're doing, their individual responsibilities. The third dimension for me is now I have to understand how they're defending what I'm running. And then another dimension is I've got to make this decision in the context of the down, distance, time, and score. So anything that helps a quarterback gain that understanding is a good tool. And I think having the understanding before you take the field would certainly be helpful. But at the end of the day, there's nothing that's going to replace the live repetitions on the field, if that makes sense. So if it increases your understanding of what I'm running, what they're running, how they're defending what I'm running, that's great. And then now you've got to take it to the field and make those decisions in real time, because the variables that you can't get in the goggles is, all of a sudden, your guard takes an L, you know, and you've got to move and go do something else, right? Or the guy that you wanted to run the pattern, he falls down or he goes the wrong way. Those things happen all the time. You look at the last play that would they have the interception on? It looked like it was 3rd and 19.
Yep.
And I'm not quite sure what was going on. Was he trying to throw the seam? Was he expecting the over route to come? And then you say, well, if it didn't look good, it's 3rd and 19. Should they just throw it away and have another shot at 4th and 19? That can't be replicated. But your understanding of that situation can kind of be increased, I guess. So I'm all for it as long as it works.
All right, Barry, we're going to throw it a break. We'll come back. We had a listener that wants to call in and ask you a quick, short question, and then we'll find out what it is that you're cooking. Barry Thompson, one-on-one. Final segment. One-on-one with Barry Thompson, and then we'll hand it over. Is Chance going at 7 o'clock?
We got some pre-recordings with Chance right now. We'll probably want a run of those.
I saw him running around the building.
He's getting in while he's reading his book, figure Chance of Brewington, getting his reading in. But once he's wrapped up with that, he'll do a pre-recording and be able to run that one later.
Shocker, that's what that is. Barry Thompson, there's a question I'd like for a caller to call in, but they haven't called yet.
Okay,
so we'll ask you this thing. What are you cooking,
sir? Oh, man. We're going to make something called galopki. So like I tell you, when we say a name, don't get disturbed by the name. We like butter. We like onions, right? Mm-hmm. We like ground meat. We like cabbage. We're just going to put those together, rice. So for galopki, it's kind of, well, hell, I'll describe it to you. So anyway, you want to take some, get about a pound of ground beef, a pound of ground pork. We'll put that aside. We're going to cook a little bit of rice, maybe a third a cup of rice, 2/3 cup of water. Get it going for just about 8 minutes. We want the rice al dente. We're going to let it cool. We're going to take about a whole onion, nice size onion, about 5-6 tablespoons of butter. Put the onions in that butter. We're going to turn it up until they just start to turn a little bit brown. Then we're going to turn it down low and let the onions do their thing. We're going to get 2 slices of bread, cut the ends off, and kind of chop that into little pieces. Doesn't have to be perfect. There's a technique in Italian cooking called a panade, where you take bread, you wet it with milk, and you put it inside the meatball. And what happens is when the bread gets heated, it kind of creates this airiness, this lightness to it. And we're going to use that. So once that onion and butter mixture kind of cools down. We'll throw some garlic in there. Take the bread, put it in there, and that bread will absorb all of that onion and garlic and butter flavor. The rice is cooled, and now we're going to put the rice. We're going to put that bread, onion, garlic mixture in with the meat. We're going to add a little oregano, a little marjoram, a little bit of paprika, salt, and pepper. Mix that meat together because that's going to be our filling. And then we'll take a head of cabbage, a nice size head, put it in some water, kind of boil it for about 3 to 4 minutes each size because we want to be able to peel the leaves off, pull it out. When it's cool enough to handle, we're going to pull those leaves off, right? And we'll pull about 16 or 18 of them off. And we're going to take about 2 ounces of that meat, put it inside of that leaf, roll it up just like a little burrito, and we'll get about 16 or 18 of those things. Now, we're ready to go. And when you get down the core of that cabbage, don't throw it away. We're going to slice it up, and we're going to use it for a bed in the pot. We'll put all the little galumpkies on top of that. We'll take about 3 cups of beef stock along with 2 tablespoons of tomato paste. Pour that over, put the lid on it, let it come to a boil. When it comes to a boil, we'll lower it down to simmer and let it go for about 50 minutes. And then at the end of the 50 minutes, what we're going to do is just strain out that liquid that we use to cook the galumpi into a pot. We're going to add about 3 tablespoons of what's called, or 3 cups of what's called passata or tomato puree. We're going to throw in a bay leaf. We're going to throw in a little bit of allspice. Let it cook for about 10 or 15 minutes. And when we're ready to finish that, we're going to put in about 2 tablespoons of unsalted butter. We're going to check the salt and pepper. And when we're ready, we'll take those galumpkis, put them on a plate, put that sauce around it, and put some fresh chopped dill over top of it. And I'm telling you, it's addicting. It is addicting. We made it. I ate 2. And of course, you have some bread to sop up all the gravy that's there. And I woke up the next morning, wanted to have it again. They didn't last around the house, maybe but 2.5 days. Galumpkis, wonderful Polish dish.
Sounds like a win. We got about 2 minutes. We're going to go to the phone line and bring in Jay. Jay, what's happening? Oh, we lost Jay. We lost Jay. Jay, next Wednesday, Jay, we'll get you.
To pick up on Jay, you guys were talking about big baseball players.
Yep.
Yeah, we can't forget our man CC Sabathia. He was a big one.
Hey, yes, he was.
Yes, he was. And Prince Fielder. Prince Fielder.
Oh yeah, we went. Yeah. Well, his daddy. Him.
Yeah. Let me ask you. And John Kruk.
Yep.
And real quick, we might have Jay. Jay, you're going to have to be quick with it if you're still there. I saw you call back in. Jay, go ahead. You're on 93.7 The Ticket. Jay, you there? All right, maybe you ran off to the kitchen. You probably made him hungry. But
we'll get Jay next week. We'll get Jay next week. Barry, thank you, brother. Appreciate what you do. Keep doing what you do. Harrison Orange, thank you, kind sir. That'll be it for one-on-one. Ticket weeknights. We'll take you through all the way to midnight. So hang out with us. Enjoy your night and take care of yourselves.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close.
Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.